As Cardinal Blaise Supich implements Traditionis Custodis in Chicago, faithful Catholics the world over call on Pope Francis to resign. COVID mandates are being lifted all over the world, so why did the Vatican just mint a brand new coin immortalizing vaccines? What's next, Francis? A Bill Gates coin? Tonight, resisting the globalist Pope to his face, are these the last days of the Francis Revolution?
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Matt, and this is The Remnant Underground, reminding you that while we were away, the new Remnant came off the press. Don't forget to subscribe to that. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this channel as well. We haven't gone for a couple of weeks because we were over on Pilgrimage. We're going to get to that in a moment. First of all, why do you think Pope Francis is so obsessed with us? Now, this week he came out, once again, swinging at Latin Mass Catholics. You know, the folks with the large families and all the little kids, they really are public enemy number one for our dear Pope Francis. He's not talking about the fact that crime is creeping out into the suburbs. He's not talking about what he should be talking about as far as the church is concerned. Universal apostasy, everybody's talking about that. Empty churches, empty seminaries. He's not talking about heretic German bishops' conferences getting ready to wreck doctrine and moral theology in the church. He's not talking about pedophile priests chasing the kiddies around. He's worried about these guys. Can you imagine, for even a second, being obsessed with shutting down something that looks like that? Just young families, kids, young priests in love with their faith, with their religion. What kind of a person would sit up late at night like the Grinch, you know, overlooking Whoville? How can I stop them? How can I make them stop? What's wrong with Francis, do you suppose?
This Pope seems intent on trolling conservatives and trolling traditional Catholics, the ones who want to remain faithful to the church and want to stay in it, but he seems intent on doing everything possible to drive them out following these woke agendas.
I think I know why. And I'm going to share it with you tonight, and I'm curious to see what you think. I think we need to take a giant bow. Let me just tease it that way. It has a lot to do with what we've all been doing with respect to Francis's revolution to wreck the church. I'm going to get to it in a moment. And I saw this, I'm just back from pilgrimage in France. No, I'm not vaccinated. You don't have to be vaccinated to go to France or the EU anymore. They've waived it all. They've lifted it all. You don't even have to be tested. We're going to get to that in a moment, too. Things are changing rapidly, and it's of that I wish to speak tonight. Things are not going well in Little Davos or in the Vatican. Those COVID restrictions were just unexpectedly lifted by Macron. Whoever saw that coming, I certainly didn't. They're lifted, and just like that, 20,000 traditional Catholic young people, they took to the streets of Paris. I'm talking about last week this happened. And they sent a message loud and clear to the entire world. Tradition is the future.
There is no need, Mary, nor ever has been, which thou canst not succor, Immaculate Queen.
So, again, back to that question. Why is he so obsessed? You think it has something to do with the clip you just saw? Yeah, I think it does. Absolutely. You see, because friends, what's happened here now? We've been saying this all along. Don't stop fighting. Keep fighting. Don't ascribe omniscience to these people or all-powerful capabilities to these people. They're stumbling right now. And what's happened over the past couple of years, as they realize this thing didn't quite go as they thought, and there's this massive awakening, as was again sort of driven home in France last week, what happened actually, friends, is that conspiracy theory that this video over at YouTube will have right down here. If you mention New World Order, if you mention that Great Reset, conspiracy theory, right? Because they want to keep us safe over at YouTube. That conspiracy theory over the past couple of years is what? It's become the conspiracy, breathing as one. It's become the conspiracy fact. They've been exposed. Are they going to be able to regroup, come back, and take us down again? We're going to find out. But for the moment, right now, they have been totally exposed over the past 2 years. It's not a theory anymore. You know, even the COVID testing requirement was dropped when we went to France 2 weeks ago, whenever it was now. We had to go get the thing stuck up the nose and test to see if we were positive. And then when we got the negative test, we were allowed to fly to France. It was intrusive. It was uncomfortable. It was stupid. But we had to do it. By the time we returned to Minneapolis, I'm hearing the flight attendant say, hey, did you hear? They dropped even the testing requirement. So even the Biden administration is going, man, this isn't working. So let's, at least for the time being, let's drop that requirement to get people tested to fly, right? Did you see that coming? I sure didn't. Even airline officials, friends, in Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, they were completely and clearly and obviously done with this stupid reset thing. I'll give you an example, a Delta gate agent. I mean, I'm in Paris, Charles de Gaulle. The gate agent says to me, you know, excuse me, sir, can you fill out this form and get in that line? It's about the COVID testing. And I grab her stupid form, like paper all over the place. We've got these pieces of paper. I thought we were in a paperless society to save the climate. I guess not. Not when they want to have the, you know, sort of the props for keeping everybody in line and locked down and doing as they're told. So she gives me this piece of paper. I'm supposed to fill it out. So I stood there looking at this thing. And I'm looking at a line that's about a mile long in Charles de Gaulle. And I said, finally, I got a little impatient. I said, lady, what are we doing over here? I got my COVID test. I uploaded the results to your system just yesterday. Now you want me to stand in this stupid line for an hour and a half? Could you please just tell me why? What's going on here? And the poor woman, she just looked defeated. She shakes her head. She goes, you know what? I don't know. You're right. She says, have a nice flight, sir. Just board the aircraft. And I thought that's a metaphor kind of for the whole thing. People are so sick and tired of this. Mr. Schwab, Mr. Gates, Pope Francis, they're done with it. You see? And why are they done with it? Because the Great Reset is stupid. The lunatics of Davos are ridiculous. They're maniacal. They're crazy. And everyone who's now living through their little future, they're reimagining the future, living actually through the beginning stages of it, they're like, hell no, what's going on? What are these lunatics doing? Who empowered them to do this to our world? And why are we putting up with it? Normal people. They want to go back to the way life was. They want to go back to the old normal, to the extent that it was normal. But they want to go back and just live their lives, right? Regardless of what this creepy old gas bag from Davos has to say about that.
People assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
So how's that working out, Klausy? Because I know I just flew back from Europe. It looks pretty much like the old normal. The airlines, they dropped the mask mandate for a reason. You remember what that is. That's because the airlines, the flight attendants, they were tired of the masked up folks who were intentionally being driven nuts by the lunatics of Davos. They were tired of those people losing it and trying to kill each other at 35,000 feet.
This here is video of a fight that broke out on a plane headed from Utah to Arizona. So two passengers got into an all-out brawl after one of them refused to wear a face mask.
That sounds very great, very wonderful, until you try to implement these policies, and then you have people tearing each other apart in the airplanes and everywhere else, in the streets. So what I saw when we went to France, very, very progressive, Macron France, socialist France, he's one of the young globalist leaders, Macron is, and yet, they've dropped the health pass requirement, no vaccination requirement, and as I say, they even dropped the testing requirement. Ain't working. It's not working. Even up in Canada, the little ferret is beginning to see, finally, the handwriting on the wall.
But let's start with the federal government scrapping most vaccine mandates starting next week. That means proof of vaccination will no longer be required to board a plane in Canada or a train. You can also fly out of country without a vaccine pass. But if you're unvaccinated, testing and quarantine rules still apply when you return to the country. Plus, international travelers landing in Canada still have to be vaccinated. The vaccine mandate is also coming to an end for federally regulated workers, including critical airport staff like security and customs.
You know what comes to mind when I see what's going on up in Canada? You know, we said this at the time, and I mean it, way to go, Canadian truckers, okay? And I say this because what the truckers did is something all of us need to do at various levels, wherever we happen to be in society. We need to keep the pressure up. Look what those truckers accomplished. You know, they got thrown out, their accounts got frozen, their bank accounts, they were put in jail. But you know what? They won. They won. Right now, Canada cannot sustain Trudeau's ridiculous lockdown that he's doing in the name of Gates and Schwab and the rest of the lunatics over in Davos. And COVID was, by their own admission, their big opportunity. We sat the world. Remember all that? The Prince Charles and everybody saying, we've got this shrinking window of opportunity to reset the world because of COVID. I mean, it came right out. I'm not going to play the clip again, but you remember every one of those folks, all the way to, you know, Guterres at the United Nations, admitting that COVID was their big chance. So now that it's beginning to fall apart a little bit, well, it gets interesting. I'm not saying it's over, but it gets interesting. And it should encourage us to stand up and fight back. And in this time, of course, I hope and pray that we're going to be a little bit more prepared for the crazy and for the lies, right? 15 days to slow the spread. Yeah, how about not this time, right? Nobody's going to fall for it this time. People are not going to go for it this time. And meanwhile, our globalist Pope Francis has done what I would describe as permanent damage to his pontificate, to himself, to his reputation. And I think it's our job to do whatever we possibly can to make sure history doesn't overlook that. Well, his role in all of this, because early on, remember, he was such a star. He was such a globalist superstar in getting this all going. And now they're wheeling around the Vatican working on a sympathy vote because everybody's done with Pope Francis.
I think this Pope, for the good of the church, should step aside. He's very, very, very much into talks about listening and discerning, but he doesn't actually practice what he preaches. I mean, his treatment of Cardinal Joseph Zen, who wanted to bring to his attention the repression of Catholics and Christians generally in China, the Pope refused to meet him. And when Cardinal Zen was arrested recently, there was nary a condemnation coming out of the Vatican.
And the only hope that the Vatican has left, as far as I can see at the moment, if the whole ugly, sorry, lying facade mess can somehow desperately be propped up until the next current thing comes along and replaces COVID. That didn't happen with Ukraine. We still standing with Ukraine, by the way. How's that working out? Vadi the Vladi still over there, you know, daily communicant, just saving souls right and left, bringing Catholic Ukraine back into Christendom. I think that's what he was doing, right? According to CNN, what a joke that turned out to be. And the Vatican particularly, because their tools, their stooges, are positively desperate. As of April 20th, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Vatican Secretary of State, was actually telling the world that the Vatican's COVID restrictions would continue indefinitely. Why? Not sure. Apparently because Francis needs to save face. They will do anything now at this point, even embarrass themselves by releasing this shiny, happy, spiffy new 20-euro Vatican coin, which depicts a young man ready to receive the holy baptismal waters of vaccine. After all that's been going on, and I can't say a lot, but everybody knows what I'm talking about because I'm on YouTube. Just check out Robert Kennedy. I mean, look at the mess. Look at Alex Berenson reporting on what's going on the injuries and everything else. And there's the Vatican. Ah, we see nothing. Everything looks great because Bill Gates says it was great, at least last year. Vaccine was going to work fantastic. It's like senile old men. Arrogant senile old men. And let's not forget, friends, these old guys in the Vatican were out there pushing vaccinations for little children just a few months ago. even though the science was clear. The risk of children dying or become seriously ill from COVID-19, extremely low, but they didn't care. So Edward Penton was reporting back in January that the president of the Vatican's Pontifical Academy for Life was all in on child vaccination, claiming that it is, quote, essential to ending the pandemic. Again, no concern at all for that little issue with abortion and baby parts and fetal tissue. Not at all. Pagli told Crooks on December 17th that even if children show no symptoms, this again is Edward Penton reporting, even if they show no symptoms, they should be vaccinated. As these little children, they pose a threat. They could still spread the virus. In other words, friends, these creepy old bastards were actually using our children to push Bill Gates' agenda. That is no exaggeration. And you know what? These creepy old bastards need to be held accountable for that. They were coming after our kids. They were letting people, pro-abort scientists, experiment on our children over in the Vatican. Who's going to hold them responsible? The great Senator Rand Paul certainly thinks somebody should be held responsible. Right now he's in D.C., he's in Washington, holding Tony Fauci accountable for the same crime. Here he is.
Dr. Fauci, the government recommends everybody take a booster over age 5. Are you aware of any studies that show reduction in hospitalization or death for children who take a booster?
Right now there's not enough data that has been accumulated, Senator Paul, to indicate that that's the case. I believe that the recommendation that was made was based on the assumption that if you look at the morbidity and mortality of children within each of the age groups, you know, 0 to 5, 5 to 11.
Right. So there are no studies, and Americans should all know this. There are no studies on children showing a reduction in hospitalization or death with taking a booster.
Well, Fauci's gonna Fauci. Who cares? I hope Rand Paul nails this old geezer to a wall. But I'm not worried principally about that right now. I want to know who authorized the Vatican, the shepherds, to run the same experiments on our children, on our little sheep. And when will they pay for that? Who authorized them? You gonna trust Francis ever again, the Pope of Mercy? Ever again after this? After he turned our kids into Bill Gates guinea pigs? Bless the whole thing? Give it a try? Let's just see if the kids survive. You see why we're just a little bit done with Francis here? It's not just the soul anymore. Not just the souls anymore. The bodies of our children are threatened by this man. And by the way, Francis, I was in Rome a few years ago when you set up your summit on sexual abuse of minors. You remember that one? Remember that, how you were going to do something about that, Holy Father?
Pope Francis just released a statement to the press in which he calls upon the bishops, patriarchs, heads of religious orders, cardinals, to join him in discerning the will of the Holy Spirit in dealing with the crisis involving minors. And then he also says that even though he's making this call on the Holy Spirit and for collegiality, he's saying he hopes this doesn't destroy or deter from creativity in the upcoming meetings this weekend in dealing with the crisis. I don't understand what creativity has to do with this problem.
I notice now you're ripping on children and you're ripping on people going to Latin masses, young families going to Latin masses. I'm just curious, how did that summit on sexual abuse ever play out? Because we haven't heard a whole lot about that since we were in Rome. Did you get the job done? Are you listening still? You doing anything to protect the kids, or did you just kind of give up on that project too? I'm sorry, friends, this is a joke, and it's a dangerous joke, this pontificate. What are these guys doing? They are a threat to our children. But you know what, friends? This goes back to the top of the show when I asked you, why do you suppose Francis is obsessed with us? I would say to traditional Catholics, In here, our country, Europe, all over the world, I would say to you all, take a bow. You didn't fall for it. You weren't seduced. You weren't intimidated by this experiment that Francis has been running to destroy the church. Take a bow, traditional Catholics. You exposed the fraud that he is, that the Vatican is right now, the dangerous fraud. And by your refusal to comply with Francis the Globalist, you put the lunatics of Davos, ironically enough, you put them on notice that their guy, Francis, is not capable of delivering you, of delivering us. We resisted him to his face, and we will continue to do so. And that, dear friends, is why Francis is furious at us. In the middle of all of this, apostasy, world wars, so-called pandemics, all of this, he's obsessed with us. Don't you see? Because we represent like the coal, the fire in the furnace, the pilot light that hasn't gone out. We've kept the faith, and we are not going to comply. And from our midst, our children, as we saw in France last week, younger, bigger, more organized, the clans are united all over the world, and Francis knows it. And that's why he's obsessed with us. Remember what we were doing?
There is no weather, and there is no force or principality in heaven and on earth that can stop us from offering the sacrifice of the Mass.
Remember, it was like something out of movies, the traditional Catholics, what they were doing a couple of years ago in the parking lots. You remember, Francis is out there doing the bidding of the lunatics of Davos, and where traditional Catholic priests are practically, you know, they're becoming folk heroes out in the parking lot with monstrances in the snow. You saw the video, remember? Refusing to go along and sending a message to the world. Not all the Catholics are, the faithful Catholics of this world and the Catholic Church are not going along with Francis. So yeah, I would say that's why Francis is obsessed with us. That's why he again took time off from his busy schedule of fear-mongering climate change last week to actually go and tattle on us to the editors of Jesuit magazine. Oh no, scary, the editors of Jesuit magazine, please, Holiness, don't go there, because they're scary guys. Jesuits, oh my gosh. And then when he gets to the Jesuit magazine, he starts calling us names again like a child. He says that we gagged the Second Vatican Council, that's why we're so dangerous. And then he said we never actually accepted Vatican II, and that's the problem, and that we have 40 more years now to learn to accept Vatican II. So, of course, he has to get rid of the Latin Mass. Well, nice job, Francis. So accepting the council now, according to you, that means going along with the New World Order. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're mad at us for? Accepting the council, which, of course, you don't define, but accepting the council means that we're supposed to lose our jobs when the lunatics of Davos shut down the world, or the United Nations shut down, or George Soros, that's what accepting the council means. Accepting the council means getting locked out of our churches and being happy about it. Accepting the council means rolling up our sleeves for Bill Gates. Is that what you're saying, Holiness? You know what I would say to that? Anathema, sit, you angry, judgmental, sad and pathetic old man. Personally, I think that the answer for traditional Catholics, just look them dead in the eye and say, you tell me what you're talking about. You prove that I reject anything doctrinally binding in Vatican II. Over and above that, I am not interested in your hippie Woodstock council anymore. I'm done with it. Friends, this is war, obviously. But what else do you think we should be doing right now? How long do we stay here? How long do we continue to take this? Because as far as I can see, the faith has to come first. And what does Scripture tell us? But though we or an angel from heaven, remember, I'm talking St. Paul in Galatians, we or an angel from heaven preach a gospel to you besides that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema. Now, that's what the inspired written word of God says. And I would ask you, have you heard Francis preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ recently? Or do you hear most of the time preaching climate change and equity and inclusion and whatever else Klaus Schwab is preaching, right? Francis is preaching a new gospel, and it is a non-dogmatic anti-gospel of globalism. So do you really think it's improper to paraphrase Galatians to sound something like this? But though we or a pope in Rome preach a gospel to you besides that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema. I don't want to be doing this, but it seems to me that we're come to the point where defending the faith requires us to do this. He is attacking 1,969 years of liturgical patrimony and of traditional doctrine and dogma of the Catholic Church. What do you think we're supposed to do here? Just go along with it because we want to obey? Don't you think that kind of misses the point? Don't you think that kind of misses the spirit of the law? You obey in order for the faith to be preserved. When obedience means the faith is going to be destroyed, you're still going to obey? Francis attacks us for refusing to sell out the bride of Christ, to sell out the church, to sell out our faith that was handed to us by our fathers for a mess of globalist pottage. That's what he's doing. He's attacking us for that. But tell me, how does Francis get away with this? How does Francis's guy, Cardinal Supich, for example, how does he cancel the Latin Mass in Chicago? Please, if you're not Catholic, I want you to answer this question. Look at this question with me. Because Catholics everywhere and non-Catholics everywhere should be thoroughly scandalized by this. How does Cardinal Blaise Supich get promoted to the highest levels in the Vatican? He's Francis's boy wonder. And now Cardinal Supich is in Chicago shutting down the Latin Mass communities. When this, friends, is what Cardinal Supich was up to just a few years ago.
At Manhattan's Metropolitan Club, Archbishop and newly elected Cardinal Blaise Supich presents Cardinal McCarrick with the Spirit of Francis Award. He says the honor by Catholic Extension is given to those who mirror the organization's mission.
We do it in a way that wants to draw attention to the work of the church that goes to the periphery, that goes to the margins of society and in the church. Cardinal McCarrick has been an individual who's done that his whole life,
The worrisome thing about this is, let's put this bluntly, everyone knew about Cardinal McCarrick.
Everyone knew, says Robert Royal. And you wonder why the churches are empty. You wonder why the Catholic Church has a little credibility problem at this point. There's Supich running around, still calling the shots after he was awarding Cardinal McCarrick with the Spirit of Francis Award? This man should be at a monastery right now doing prayer and penance for that. Instead, he's in Chicago shutting down Latin Mass communities, large families, beautiful young priests, rafts of little kids who are trying to save their souls. Yeah, I'm sick of it. Everybody's sick of this. This is a farce. It's a scam. It's a sham. It's a scandal. And they're doing the same thing in Washington, D.C. right now with the illustrious Cardinal Gregory canceling the Latin Mass Catholics, even at Old St. Mary's in Washington, D.C. When I was at Christendom College, we used to go out there all the time, packed out. Patrick Buchanan was always there, young professionals, people of influence in D.C., in the swamp, good people, go to Mass there every Sunday, powerful community. It's got to go, says Cardinal Wilton Gregory. And yet, this is the type of scandal that we're all supposed to forget about that Cardinal Wilton Gregory was up to just a couple years ago.
Catholic Archbishop under fire for living in a huge mansion. His lavish lifestyle outraging members of the church who feel his expensive tastes are completely out of step.
This morning, Atlanta Catholic Archbishop Wilton Gregory agreeing to downsize.
I'm disappointed in myself. and I don't intend to do that mistake again.
He had just started unpacking his boxes 3 months ago at this brand new $2.2 million Atlanta mansion when Catholics around the world began to complain. He's now decided to sell his 6,000 square foot residence with its own elevator, two dining rooms, and a panic room upstairs. It sits just around the corner from CEOs and athletes. These original blueprints called for a wine cellar and a chandelier.
Tomorrow is another day.
The nephew of Gone with the Wind author Margaret Mitchell donated the land and the money, instructing the church to use it for charity.
And by the way, while Latin Mass Catholics, families, kids, children, priests, young priests, while they're being thrown out of the church, trans Catholics are in. So says, once again, Cardinal Wilton Gregory. Here he is.
Hi, my name is Rory, and I worship with Dignity Washington, just up north of here. I'm a transgender Catholic. And so my question for you is, what place do I, as a confirmed transgender Catholic, and what place do my queer friends have here at this diocese with you?
You belong to the heart of this church. And there is nothing that you may do, may say, that will ever rip you from the heart of this church. There's a lot that has been said to you, about you, behind your back, that is painful and is sinful. So if you're asking me, where do you fit? You fit in the family.
In the name of God, friends. How can faithful Catholics obey a bishop, a priest like that, like these men, these hirelings? How do we do that? Why do we do that? Is this what God wants? To obey these Judases? And in the name of God, good fathers, traditionalist priests, bishops, I know there's a bunch of you out there. Enough's enough. I know you've kept the faith. I know collegiality has bound you to silence and obeying this, but you can't go on anymore, right? You're not going to go for this. You can't go along with this anymore. This crackdown, this globalist crackdown on Christ, on Christ the King, on Latin Mass, faithful Catholics. What are you going to do? 30 years from now, I look back and you say, I just went along with it. I obeyed. I shut the churches down. I kicked the little kids out. I got rid of the young priests. I didn't let the young seminarians get ordained. I obeyed. For what? Fathers, excellencies, eminences. And you don't need me to remind you that obedience is not a theological virtue. We are counting on you to defend the faith, to defend the Mass of our fathers, to defend our children, just as the priests of the Vendée in 1789 did when the revolution came for them. The same revolution, by the way. Those priests, your predecessors, fathers, eminences, excellencies, those priests, they took to the forests and to the marshes of the Vendée, Western France, in order to celebrate the Latin Mass in secret, if it came to that, and it did, in order to practice their faith under cover of darkness to save the souls of their outlawed flocks in outlawed chapels. That's what they did for the faith. And if they were caught saying the Latin Mass, the Mass, out in the woods or in the barns or in the marshes, guess what? They were executed for it. They were martyred for it. But they kept the faith. And we have to do the same. Because now the same revolution is trying to crush the faith of our fathers again by outlawing the Mass of our fathers. That's what this is all about. You know that. You're not going to go along with this. Fathers, please lead us. I actually lived through this once before. I know what I'm talking about. I know how it works. I remember when the priests of my childhood came to this point, to the point where they could no longer in good conscience obey evil commands, and so they stopped. And it was hard for them. They were not renegades. It broke their hearts. They were loyal sons of the church, but they could not obey. In fact, there's even a book out there somewhere telling the stories of these priests. I think it's called Priest, Where is Thy Mass? Mass, Where is Thy Priest? We can put the book up on the screen. And one of those priests in this book One of those priests, his name was Father Harry Marchowski. He's a theologian, a seminary theologian, who also taught philosophy at Laval University. And guess what? He's just one of the many priests who lost everything after Vatican II because he refused to go along. He refused to comply. He refused to offer the new mass even. And you know what? Somehow, miraculously, he kept a relationship with his bishop. He didn't just run off and start his own church, but he refused. And so he was on his own for a long time, but he kept the faith. And then he taught families like mine. He taught us the faith. I learned to serve the mass, the traditional Latin mass, his mass, in the basement chapel of my father's home. You see, that's how it worked. And then one day things improved a little bit, and Father Marchowski actually married my wife and I, blessed our marriage, in a diocesan church down in Naples, Florida. He came back up from the underground, in other words, from the marshes and from the forests. He never left the church, though. The church left him. And today we're going to need priests that are going to do the same thing. Men who will not leave the church, but neither will they obey orders to destroy the church. And again, if we go underground, it's not going to be outside the church underground. It's just going to be down in the crypt for a while, in the catacombs for a while, in the undergrounds for a while, until God raises up the Pope, the saint, to restore sanity to his church. This is his church to save. And then we'll come up again, just like we did after the turbulent and ridiculous days of the 1970s and the felt banners and all the chaos of the post-conciliar, the immediate post-conciliar, the conciliar aftermath. So friends, whether you're a priest, bishop, layperson, you can see what's happening here, right? We're gonna get through this, but the choice is simple. We're either gonna suffer persecution for Christ's sake, we're gonna suffer persecution in defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or we're going to obey those who preach a new gospel. And the question is, in conclusion tonight, what's it gonna be for you? Because it seems to me that St. Paul has already told us what we need to do. The time has come. Let's do it. And let them be anathema.